what I'm going to do. So, scripture reading in God's Word is in Psalms today, chapter 8, 3 through 9. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The Son of Man, that you care for him, you may make him a little lower than the heavenly beings, and crown him with glory and honor. You make him rule over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds, and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, all that swim in the path of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, your majesty is your name in all the earth. Amen and amen.
Children's Church. Let's start with prayer. Oh, precious Heavenly Father, you are so wonderful. How majestic is your name. That you would send your Son to die for us, and then you would send your Spirit to indwell us. That we don't have to go to a temple to worship you. We don't have to have a priest because we have the high priest that laid down his life for us. That we are your blessed children, and we can come before you. No fear, no shame, because you've covered us in the robe of righteousness of Jesus Christ. You've cast our sins as far as the east is from the west, and you love us as your children. Help us to remember that today as we hear your words, O Lord, and help us to live like those children, children of light, children with a mission, children that have been redeemed, children that love their Father because you first loved us. We thank you and praise you through the name of Jesus. Amen. So this week we did go and leave, and I blew off an Awana's meeting, a vacation Bible school meeting, an insurance meeting, because I put God first and then I put my family second. And I told my wife we'd get in one more camping trip that we had pre-planned. I'll throw that in there. And we had a great time. Evening. I'll get it straight here in a minute. I sat down to write sermon so that I would be ready to spend some more time with her and everything. And wrote the sermon. It went well. Going in the same area, we switched from going into John chapter 13 to Matthew chapter 13. Go figure, that's just what God does. And I thought I was going into John chapter 13 weeks ago. I thought I was going into John chapter 13 with the men's walk, but the men's walk has been canceled. So I don't know when we're going to go to John chapter 13. But what he is telling me without telling me, because you don't necessarily hear these words, you don't find those burning bushes. And so many times, Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against him building his church. And so many times, the gates of hell, believe it or not, are his own children. Because we get ourselves caught in the middle. We think of things are our way and everything. And we try to pray and look for signs and everything else to show us the right way. When we need to pray, yes. We need to pray to the Father and seek answers, but then He's going to point us back to this right here, isn't He? And the only reason that we can understand the mysteries of God is because He wrote them down for us in the first place. And they've stood the test of time. And you can read whichever Bible version you want. Don't worry about it. Which one speaks to you. Because if you're a child of God, then His Spirit, God Himself, is speaking to you, revealing this written Word which became flesh and dwelt among you, Jesus Christ, the light that came into this world, so that you would no longer be in darkness, but instead walk in light. So you don't have to hear all those voices, anything else. You don't have to be confused, and you don't have to be feel like you're less than because of some other Christian that thinks that he's better than. You're all, including myself, walking on even ground as a child of God. No one greater, no one less. You can come to the throne of grace because Jesus Christ died for you. You are God's child, and you've been given gifts of the Spirit. The problem is most of us don't realize that or don't want to realize that because we don't want to get uncomfortable and get out of the box. And then we think that if we do, how am I going to hear that voice? You pray again. You spend time meditating. You read these scriptures and then they speak to you. Then guess what? You still have to walk by faith, not by sight. You still walk by what you think is right, and He directs your course. You take each step and then He guides you along the way. And many times you don't realize it, but He's carrying you or He's dragging you along or whatever it is. But He's doing all things for His glory and honor, and He'll glorify you along the way because you're His child, precious and redeemed, holy and set free. So I don't know when we'll get to John 13. I don't know when we'll be back in Matthew 13 because we're not there today. Because when I wrote that sermon, I was all content with it, went to bed that night, woke up, and it's funny. Because I didn't go to bed till about 2 o'clock, nearly 2. Then Sherry wakes up, and I don't know what she did at that point. Was awake from 2 to 5. Then I wake back up at 5. And I'm sitting there like, what are you trying to tell me, Lord? Speak to me. Where's this audible voice? Where's the burning bush and everything? And finally, I just like, well, I need to get up and write another sermon instead of thinking about it. Because John and I had talked and prepared, since we're talking about farming some in Matthew 13, he said, I've got some ideas and some sermon topics. I said, He said, I'll give them to you. I said, no, you'll give them to the church because they're your ideas and topics. But he wasn't ready yet. No offense, nothing there. He just wasn't ready yet. So God told me that night, not that clearly. He just said, write this sermon. And this sermon came and came quickly, more quickly than most, so that we were able to do things that day. And I don't remember if that's today or not, but one day I came over and checked on Polly and Merle because they went with us. And Merle had told Polly, he said, now don't ask him any questions about the Bible today because we'll be here half the day. Because that's what happens because I cannot keep quiet. And then the time passes by and we're like, whew, we had church right here, didn't we? Yeah, because we're gathered together to proclaim Jesus Christ. So this is where he led me today. This is where we're at. We'll get to John 13 at some time. And pretty soon you're going to get the privilege of hearing John Learman, not Tucker, because you're right in the same path, give us some more ideas about farming and cultivating that soil and everything. And he'll speak to you as much or a little as God lays on his heart. Another thing that Sherry and I got to do this weekend is we got to go talk to another pastor that I was supposed to serve with on this men's walk, and I'm taking his place in the women's walk because he had something to come up. But that means you get a special blessing. That week that I'm going to the women's walk, he's going to come here and preach for you. He's a fabulous, dynamic man that has the heart of Jesus and can't keep his mouth shut about it. He does, if you ever read the articles in the Spokane Tribune where the, I'll put religious section, because they're not all necessarily Christian points of view. He writes a thing like that, I don't know how often, in the Lewiston paper. But we went by and looked at his theater that he's purchased. Because he has a heart to reach out to all of God's people, not just the ones that come into this building, not this church. You are the church. And he's bought a theater in downtown Lewiston, and it's neat. I didn't know that the old theater, the projectors that were there would spark and put off fumes and stuff. I didn't know any of this. So the two, and they would go from reel to reel. So the two projectors that were inside this box are inside of a metal box so that they can't catch fire. And there's a vent that pumps out the air out of there because it's not air you can breathe. It's so neat. But what was more neat is he's turned this into a house of worship where people can come and do services, do weddings and so forth. And then he's got a prayer room, like if any of you have seen War Room, on the backside, where he has different windows that look over different views of downtown Lewiston, where you can go to each and pray over the city. Wow. So we got blessed this weekend. We got refueled. And this is the message that God gave me, entitled, In the Image of God. And I didn't understand that till this morning. Maybe Savannah didn't understand it. Sherry didn't understand it because Jacob's sick. He's got a temperature. And they had to step up, whether they felt like they were capable or worthy or had the abilities to lead you guys in worship. And it was powerful. And you even clapped afterwards. Great. Because you see the presence of God moving. All you've got to do is step out of the boat to walk on water. You can't do it, but your God is big enough. So you're created in the image of God. Genesis, first book, first verse starts out this way. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. It's all about Him. It's all about His story. And you get to play a part. He created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, I don't know if you noticed it, but those words jumped out to me, and they hadn't before. That verse 1 has got God the Father, in the beginning God. Verse 2 has the Spirit of God hovered over. Verse 3 has let there be light, and light came into this world so that we could be children of light. That's Jesus. So the first three verses, you've got the Trinity, you've got the power, the same power that lives inside of you. That God the Father loved you so much that His Son came to die for you, that His Spirit can live through you. But most Christians, a lot of Christians, I don't want to be prejudiced or label people, don't understand the Spirit of God that's inside of them. And a part of that is because of our own standing in the way, the gates of hell standing in front of Jesus building His church, because we might seem a little too holy and we get scared about these gifts of the Spirit and stuff. Or we're still like the Corinthians church and we want the gifts that make us look the biggest. When every single one of us is given a gift of God to serve this body so that they can go out and serve the world. Because this is the body of Christ with Christ the head, so that we can go proclaim the gospel message, the message of reconciliation that we get to be a part of. And that's, I mean, we can stop in Genesis 3 and it's there in front of us. God loves us, He saves us, and He gives us the power to live a holy life. Not live that life in heaven. Yes, we will. But we're still living and breathing today. So He gives us that Spirit to do all of those different things that you'll read in Scripture that the Spirit does today. But don't forget, when the Spirit comes upon somebody, look through Scripture, read it time and time again. They proclaim. They can't be quiet because the Spirit of God has come upon them. And the Spirit of God has come upon us, redeeming us, so that we can cry out, Daddy, I love You. Thank You for loving me. My life is not my own. I am born again. I am a new creation in Christ. Therefore, I no longer live, but He lives in me. Each and every one of us have that claim to faith. So I asked a question before, and I'll ask it again. Do you believe? Because see, that's what all you believe. You don't just believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and that you're saved. You believe this whole story. You believe the Trinity, whether the word Trinity is in the Bible or not. You believe that the power of God lives inside of you. You believe that God the Father loved you so much that Jesus Christ, His only Son, died for you. That He lived a life that we see. We get that in the Gospels, and then we read on in Acts how the church lived by this power of God and did these things that haven't stopped. Why are we not living that same way? We will sit there and argue and say, well, I don't see these healings now and the gifts of tongue. Well, are you proclaiming Jesus Christ in English to everyone? And you expect to get a gift of tongue to speak another language? Come on. Why would He do that? So we don't see some of these mighty miracles because we stifle the power of the Spirit. Or because we're so obsessed in living our own lives that we forget that we're born again, new creations in Christ. As the illustration I gave you from Sesame Street, making it pretty simple, we were caterpillars. Now we're monarch butterflies, the king of the butterflies. Nothing else declares that glory in the butterfly world, and nothing else declares that glory in the human world except Christ living through us by the power of God, so that we can bring glory and honor to God, what we were created for in the first place. Do you believe that? If you believe it, then you have new life. You have gifts. You are called to proclaim the Word of God. Doesn't mean you've got to leave where you're at and go to a foreign mission field. It means you need to be aware of that power of God that's inside of you. So when you do get the opportunity to proclaim the hope that you have inside, that you're not afraid. That you will have the words, even though you don't know the words. They'll come at that moment. He'll bring back this word to you so that you can use this and proclaim it. And then the Word of God will not come back void, because there's power in the Word of God. Resurrecting power. Do you believe this for your life? If the monarch butterfly, if its children would have stayed eating milkweed, what would have happened to the other monarch butterflies? They would have died off. They would have become extinct. But see, the church is never going to be extinct, because Jesus said, I will build my church by the power of God, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. Even if his caterpillars won't stop eating milkweed and turn into butterflies, he's still going to do it. So that all of creation is groaning and sitting there saying, what are you going to do next, God? Beings that we don't have any idea about. We know there's angels and stuff, and we know that the earth shakes when they come and talk. And people, they have to say first to them, do not be afraid, because they're trembling and fearing or faint as they're were dead men at the tomb. That Spirit of God is the one that gives us power to live that new life, to proclaim God's Word. Or the church would ever forever be extinct? No, because even if we won't cry out, the rocks will, right? But He wants us to cry out. He's redeemed us for that purpose, to believe and proclaim. In Matthew 16, 18, He says that the church would not fail, that the gates of hell will not overcome His people. Not the building, not religion, but His people to be called out. Remember, that's what the church means. The gates of hell will not prevail against my church living as children of light, proclaiming the message. Why won't it fail? Because the power of God is the one behind the movement in the first place, whether you realize that and take hold of it and fly or not. Clearly, Jesus is referring to His death. But as in John 12, He's referring to our death also, so that we can produce a crop. Back to the farming ideas, right? Because if we don't die to produce more seeds, more disciples proclaiming Jesus Christ, then that crop won't continue to function. But guess what? There'll still be a remnant. Look, read your Old Testament. It's not a different God. It's to show us again that the nation of Israel had the privilege and the power to proclaim God's name to the world. But since they did not the way they should, He disciplined His children. There are times of revival. There are times in the valley lows. There is a time when there was silence for many, many years, and people thought God had forsaken them. But then just at the right moment, God sent His Son to die for us, when all hope seemed lost, to tell us God is faithful, He's true, He's an awesome God. Holy Spirit, fill this place. Set a fire in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. Because that's what will happen if you'll just let Him. As we read on in Acts, you'll see it's not the Acts of the Apostles. It's the Acts of a mighty God through the power of the Spirit. And if you realize, it says the Spirit came upon them like a wind, like tongues of fire, like dynamite, dynamis power, like a hurricane. What happens in a hurricane if you're in the middle of it? You're holding on for dear life. The power's in the hurricane. But you know in this hurricane that nothing's going to happen to you, because that is driving you, pushing you, propelling you to live. But you've got to do that by dying first so that you can truly live. You have new life. You are born again, so you don't have to live the old life, so that you can live as children of light. I've told you before that there are headers in the NIV version. If you turn to Matthew 18, you should find a header there. I also want to remind you that Jesus said the word ecclesia, those called out, His congregation, those called out to live. Says it two times. One is, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. The second one is in discipline. It says, if your brother sins, and we forget to practice this too, so we're the gates of hell in this part. Let's be honest. Because if your brother sins, it says go to him. What happens most time when your brother sins? You go to somebody else and gossip about it. Let's be honest. I've done it. I'm condemning myself then. Then we don't go and take the witnesses, because the witnesses are not so much to tell that person they've done wrong, but to make sure we're not the ones doing wrong. And then, if they still don't believe, or I didn't change my attitude about it, whatever it needs to be, then we tell it to the congregation so that the Spirit of God again can give us discernment, use all these gifts to say, what is this we're dealing with? And if it is a sin that won't be addressed, then we cut it out like cancer. We don't want to. That's the furthest thing from what we want to do. We want to bring about reconciliation, restoration. But that's the only two times Jesus used the word in his bodily form here on earth. Now, he did use it later in his revelation to John, and he said, please tell my congregation to fall back in love with me. Please tell them to get salve for their eyes. Please tell them that I am the way, the truth, and the life, because they seem to have forgotten this. But in Matthew 18, we see that account, and the NIV uses a nice little header here. I agree with this one. And it's sandwiched right between another nice little header. It says, dealing with sin in the church. Because that's pretty much what this one is. It says, if. Doesn't say when. It says if. Because if the power of God is here, we don't have to have sin in the church, people. Doesn't have to be here. That scripture starts off with if. So I want to go back to John 12. So put a bookmark there if you're following me. Because you don't have the words up top. And let's apply this to where we've been in John chapter 12. I'm going to John chapter 12, verse 23. Remember that all eyes are on him. He's entered into Jerusalem as the King of kings, Lord of lords. And they've cried out recognizing that, saying, Hosanna, which means save us. We want to be saved. We want eternal life. We realize we're drowning and we need someone to throw us a life preserver. How are you going to do it, Jesus? When are you going to defeat the Romans? What are you going to do? I want to put a quarter in the vending machine and I want the right pop to pop out. Can't believe I say pop. I never said pop before in the South. But pop. That's what we want. I like this one. This is what I want to hear Jesus say. I want Coke, not Pepsi. That's not what he says at all. We don't put a coin in the vending machine, period. It says, Jesus replied, after all these signs, after all these people from the far ends of the earth gathering from the east and from the west, Jesus said, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But, if it goes into that chrysalis phase, which looks like death, because it's willing to do that, I'll tell you what's going to happen. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Not just a few, many seeds. So if we continue to do that, we're going to have a birth of Christianity, Christ-like followers. Not just the word, but people who live by that faith. So that we don't need to be praying as much about, oh, I hope our children do this or do that. Because we're going to be living it, they'll see it. They see that we've died so that we can live. And it promises me here in God's Word that there will be a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100. But there will be a crop. And here it says many seeds. Anyone who loves their life, I love my life, I want eternal life. Then I'll do the opposite. I'll lose it. I'll lose this life. While anyone who hates their life in this world, meaning that I don't worry about the things of this world anymore, will keep it for eternal life. The questions that I keep asking, how can I obtain eternal life? But I'm not necessarily willing to do, so I walk away sad. Because all Jesus is telling me is, put on my yoke instead of his. Lay down your life. Take up the cross that I took up for you. Yeah, yours might be a little burdensome now and then. Nothing like the one I did. Get rid of all those other gods and then follow me. Whoever serves me, verse 26, must follow me. And don't you worry, where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Glorify, praise them. Say, well done, my son. Verse 27, now my soul is troubled. Jesus said it too. My soul's troubled. What shall I do? What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Is that what I should say? No. It was for this very reason I came to this hour. The very reason you were born, you were created, mankind was created, was to bring praise, glory, and honor to God. And that comes from obedience to His commands. Comes by loving Him. Comes by not having any other gods before Him. Comes from loving your neighbor. Not coveting, not stealing, not gossiping, not disobeying your parents, but giving them respect and honor instead. That's how we get it. I was created to glorify Him. I know the answer already, just like Jesus knew the answer. And I know the answer even more as a child born again, not just to tithe anymore, but to give my whole life by laying it on the altar. And then that verse in Romans 12 goes on to say to be transformed and uses the word for metamorphosis, the same word we get today, that's like a butterfly. Caterpillar turning to a butterfly. Complete and total change that you don't have to understand again to do because you're not the one doing it. It's God's power doing it as you die so that you can live. Verse 28, Father, glorify your name. Then what happens next? A voice comes from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Whether you choose to die or not, I still will. We remember Jonah. He went the opposite direction, and the different people on the boat got saved. He still went to Nineveh, and Nineveh repented. Two for one. God knew He was going to do it again. God's sovereign. God doesn't pick up the pieces and run with them. He knows everything, is in control of everything. He just lets you make the choice in there. And He's still going to glorify His name either way. And even when you rebel, He's still saying, come on back to me. Come on back to me. And all you've got to do is repent. Change your mind. Fall on your knees and say, forgive me, Father. And He'll pick you up and carry you through this life and then for all eternity. The crowd that was there said it had thundered. Others said, no, an angel had spoken. Because we talked about that before. When angels speak, the ground thunders. Maybe that's what it was. So that gives a little more. One is just, it's earth. Next one's just an angel. Maybe we should listen up. But it's just an angel. No, it was God Himself. So Jesus said in verse 30, the voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for you to judge and decide. Judgment is here on this world. You have no more excuses. The prince of this world, Satan, is driven out. He has no authority, no dominion, no power over you. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. How will He do that? He'll send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Enabler, the Advocate, the One who gives me life so that I might live. You remember the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion? We find it in Matthew 28, verse 16 through 20. Most people start at 18. I want to start at 16. Because it says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. First of all, they had to go where Jesus told them. Okay? When they saw Him, what did they do first? They worshipped Him. There is a but here. I didn't think there was a but here. I thought it just did a comma. But the NIV has a but. But some doubted. This is the 11 He's referring to. There were others there. But out of the 11, the closest followers of Jesus that saw Him raised from the dead, that touched His body, felt the holes in His hands and feet and side, some of them doubted. Don't ever think when you doubt, shame on me, God can't use me. This is the guys that walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, saw Him perform these miracles. They doubted. Not just one, some. We don't know how many. But some of those guys doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, you stinkers, you. No, that's not what He said. He said, all authority, the same authority that was taken away from Satan and not some of it, but all of it. All authority on heaven, in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Every last bit of it. Satan has no power, no dominion. You have no excuses, no buts. Therefore, as a result of this, go and make. That means to teach, to instruct, to train, and even to discipline. That's what that word means. Disciples of all nations. Not just people who proclaim, but people who proclaim and obey. It goes on to say it. Followers of Christ, those who are like Christ, who have taken up His cause. Not just saved and content with it, but saved and I can't keep quiet about it. Even if you tell me to. Or don't say anything to Him. It's going to come up. Disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them, instructing them, training them, and disciplining them to obey some of what I've taught, because that's okay. Everything. I can't pick and choose. I can't say I don't like this love the neighbor part. I can't say as a child I don't like, when I have the comprehension and everything, that I don't like this obeying my mother and father part. I can't say, I don't want to go to Nineveh. I got to do what God has called me to do. And maybe it'll come in a burning bush, but more than likely, it won't. Maybe it'll come in an audible voice, but more than likely, it won't. Maybe it'll come in a whisper, but still more than likely, it won't. It'll come from me humbly praying to my Father and seeking His Word, and it'll come to me. And then I'll turn and I'll be like, I read the same thing here. I read the same thing here. I read the same thing here. I wonder if He's trying to tell me to submit to His ways. And then He'll put that way in front of you. And then you'll say, nah, I don't know if this is it or not. So you go this way. And then He'll put that way in front of you again. That's that neighbor down the road I don't want to go talk to. But He'll keep putting that in front of me till I finally say, is that what you're trying to tell me? And I'm obedient. And then I'll watch the power of God move. And I know that the power of God is from this. So if I get to proclaim this, then I can hold on to this and watch Him work rather than me work. To obey everything I have commanded you. And don't fear, don't lose hope, don't be discouraged, because surely I am with you always to the very end of this age. Now let me get back to the Matthew 18 scripture that I started at. So I'm back there if you held your place. If, not when, your brother or sister sins, go and point it out their fault, just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you've won them over. But if they will not listen, take it to one or two others, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. This is what the Old Testament told us about again. This is the law. So we need to look at the Old Testament also for these guidelines. If they still refuse, then here's the New Testament. Tell it to the church, this body of Christ, the ones I've given all these gifts to, so we can discern this problem together and decide what to do about it. If they still refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as a pagan or a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you, that's all it takes, two. We can't say that we don't need to go to church. It can be a church at home. It can be whatever. But we have to have each other. Because if we don't have iron sharpening iron. We only have our gift of the Spirit, not that person's gift of the Spirit also. And sometimes it's exact opposite, right, sweetheart? But we need to amen. Thank you for that. But we need to realize that, because that's what God has brought us together. A bunch of people who aren't the same, carrying out the same purpose by the same power. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am. I'm with them. Always. I won't forsake you. Then you see next a little NIV header of the parable of the unmerciful servant. Oh, that's here to remind me, and we won't go on that today, that no matter what in these cases, that I tend to lean towards mercy and grace. Love, mercy, and grace. Because if it wouldn't have been for those things, I would have never been redeemed. So the point is never to get rid of someone out of the body of Christ. It's to put them back on the right direction, lovingly, with mercy, something they don't deserve, and with grace upon grace upon grace, just eating them up with love and adoration and everything, because that's what Jesus Christ did for you and God's love poured out on you. So I started in Genesis 1. I want to get back to that. But I'm going to skip down to verse 24, and I'm going to remind us that we are part of this creation. We are created things. We're not gods. We're not fallen angels. We are created beings designed to bring glory and honor to God and given dominion over this earth, because everything in this earth was created for us to see God's glory, and He gave us responsibility over it. And we get to see the beauty and the complexity and everything else to see, wow, this is the God that's in control. So that when we do face cancer in our life or divorce in our life or whatever it is in our life, I'm not saying anything there, flat tire in our life, that we know that God does love us, that we know we live in a fallen creation, but He still loves us. He has a purpose for us, and He's right there with us. But we are created things. We get down to verse 24, and it says, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kind, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, the wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kind, the livestock according to their kind, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 26. Then God said, "Let us..." You don't have to get off. Let's look at this with childlike faith again. That doesn't mean there's multiple gods, anything else. We saw it in verse 1. God the Father, God the Creator, God the Son, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Actually, we see the Spirit second, but I'm doing it this way. The Word made flesh and dwelt among us, the light of this world, the one that laid down His life for our sins, and the power of God, the Spirit, hovering over the waters. The same Spirit that led Jesus in His ministry, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the same Spirit that makes you born again and gives you new life now and forevermore. That's simply what it means by "let us make." Mankind in our image. Now, what does image mean? And then it goes on to say likeness. To have that moral choice so that we can worship or not. Because the other livestock and things were God's creation that will obey Him and bring Him honor. They don't worry about where they're going to get their food from, because they know, even though they're insignificant sparrows, that He's going to provide for them. That do bring glory and honor to God simply by existing. But you and I get to bring glory and honor to God by obeying Him, loving Him, stepping out of the boat. And even if we don't, remember back in John, He's still going to be honored. He's still going to bring glory to Him. But you get to choose whether or not to see that abundant life today, which Jesus said He came for. So let us make mankind in our image and likeness so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, over the livestock, the wild animals, over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God, the Trinity, all three, created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female. No difference. Man is not supposed to be, or male is not supposed to be dominant over female, or vice versa. We're supposed to equally walk. And then He introduced marriage and children. Wow, He just goes on to do wonderful things because He's a wonderful God. But He gave us both authority. He gave my wife different gifts than me. Sometimes total opposite, so that she can help iron that out, so that I can help iron that out, so that we can walk completely side by side. Where two are gathered together, Jesus said, "I'm there in the midst of you." Male and female, He created them, and God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number." Wow. Won't get off topic today on that. But wow, that God would do all that. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it." Seed. We go on to learn further about that. That's okay. We'll go there later too. "They will be yours for food, for nourishment. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it." I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. You and I, male and female, every single one of us were created in the image of God. When Jesus Christ came, we were given the option to believe and be born again even more in the image and likeness of God. Because where the law only pointed out our sin and our failures and how pitiful and wretched and naked and blind we were, then this new covenant written in the blood of Jesus tells us how loved we are, how equipped we are, whether we think we are or not, how much we belong to God, and nothing can ever separate us. Do you believe this? I want to close with Romans 1, verse 14 through 20, talking about what Paul believed. He's quoting this to the church at Rome so that they'll know what he believes so that they might believe it. Verse 14, he says, I am obligated. I am in debt. I have a life debt because my life was purchased by another, because I would have died and had been eternally separated from God. But Jesus Christ died in my place instead. I can never fulfill this debt, but I am obligated and indebted to this man named Jesus to live and proclaim his message, to live a life of worth, glory, and honor, and praise to God. I am obligated both to the Greek and the non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish, everyone. That is why I am so eager to preach what? The gospel. Also to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed. I am not fearful, dreadful. I am not scared of what any man can do to me. And I'm not worried about their glory, honor, and praise. I want his. I want to bring him glory and honor and praise. I am not ashamed of what? The gospel again. We get it, bam, bam. Why? Because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone. Everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. This Old Testament God that's jealous for you, who is a sovereign and holy, who will put his judgment out there. He has to, so that heaven will be a place without sin. But he loves you so much instead. He says, you can't do it. I'm going to do it for you. You just got to believe. Okay? For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. How is that? A righteousness that is by faith, from the beginning to the end, from the first to the last. Just as it is written from Habakkuk 2:4, which was what I talked about at the walk, because I talked about Hebrews chapter 10, I think is where it's at, maybe in 11, where it quotes Habakkuk 2:4. The righteous will live by faith. The wrath of God, the punishment, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people. Who are these people? The one who suppressed the truth, suppressed Jesus by their wickedness. Now, I don't like hearing that because I don't want to think I'm wicked. But whenever I suppress the truth, before and afterwards, I'm being a little wicked. Not being a whole lot like children of light that God gave me his son to do and then the power to do it by. Verse 19, since what may be known about God is plain to them from all of creation, because God has made it plain to them. You don't need to comprehend it. You don't need to have a science degree or a medical degree. You just need to look with childlike faith and say, wow. This just didn't happen, did it? Somebody created this. Huh. Why was I created? His Word tells us. That love letter from the Father. Verse 20. For since the creation of the world, Genesis 1:1-3, right? Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power, and divine nature has been clearly seen. Being understood, clearly understood, from what has been made or created, so that people are without excuse. I don't know if you have any excuses today. I know I do. So I'll just go right there. I have excuses every day. But what I need to do every day is lay them at the foot of Jesus and He takes them away. That's why Jesus Himself went early in the morning to pray about the things He was going to face today, everything else, because He was a man that took on our sin and shame so that we could be made righteous. And then said to the 11 that some of them doubted, don't worry. You got a big mission ahead of you. Wait. Go back to Jerusalem and pray and wait. What? I thought we're called to this mission. Why wouldn't you tell us to go now? But He said instead, go back and wait to think about, to pray, why God's going to give you His Spirit. Why in the world would He do that? Yeah, to seal you, yes. But so that you could live and proclaim and live out this message that you say that you believe. So if you have any excuses, I beg you, I plead with you, I urge you, brethren, to lay them down. To lay your lives down. Because Jesus bought them anyway. And you are indebted whether you see that or not. To proclaim the message. Because the power is in that message. And God has revealed Himself to you. There's no excuse. It's clearly seen and forever clearly seen for those that believe. Because we've been covered by the blood of the Lamb. We're white. Not stained with sin anymore. So I beg you and plead with you to take that to heart, to pray about it so that you can live as children of light. Father in heaven, we do thank you. We praise you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for Jesus Christ. And we thank you for your Spirit to come and live in us. Oh, Holy Spirit, set a fire in our souls, one that we cannot contain and we cannot hold, so that we can draw our children. Let us look to your word and see all the examples of that, where you, Lord, are faithful to save our children. And then, Lord, help us to move beyond that with our children as butterflies, to proclaim the message to the lost, to the blind that can't see, because you have opened our eyes that we may see. To the deaf that can't hear, because you've opened our ears and increased our understanding. And we thank you and pray and praise you for that. May we be children of light. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.